Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Hut in the Clock on Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing and Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jonathan Hutton joining us a little bit later than usual this week. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hut, always appreciate you stopping by. We're just over a week away from the NFL draft.
Finally.
We're almost there, except I'm here for a few more days of gossip and tea and lies and rumors, but after another week, I think I'll be ready for just action, finally.
I'm still waiting to hear back from the commissioner on having the first round Thursday, just since we have this little dead period between the – we might as well fill it with something exciting like
between
the draft.
Between the Stanley Cup playoffs.
So let's just go ahead and get it in. Let's look at the bright side. Let's use our resources and slide the draft in, and then we can start round one for the Preds. Because it's all about
me. You
want
to get it? Oh, I see what you're saying. Because your schedule, Willie.
Yeah, my schedule. It's about my schedule, Hut. I have called the commissioner's office, and I'm waiting to hear back.
Roger would understand.
I will back you.
I left a message.
I'm all for it. But we can. You could also reduce the amount of time in between picks. Like the draft will start at 7 o'clock. We will not have the Chicago Bears on the clock until 7:15. That's ridiculous.
At the absolute
move this along,
earliest.
Get Caleb Williams.
They waste
on
so much time at that thing. It's unbelievable.
At the absolute earliest.
Got to get Kuiper on TV.
You know what? Mel deserves his airtime. I'll give that to
Did
Mel.
Did you say airtime or hair time?
Both.
Both. What a style that Mel Kuiper. Who, by the way, just side note, Hope Hines put Mel Kuiper on TV for the first time.
Wow.
In Baltimore.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
He went down. He heard about this kid. Hope tells it better. I shouldn't tell the story. Let him tell it. But Hope found out about this kid in Baltimore who had all these tapes on prospects as like a hobby, and went to his basement and did a story on him. And it was Mel Kuiper Jr. How crazy is that?
That's awesome.
Humble beginnings, even for
yes.
Mel Kuiper.
It's a great story in his book, In Hindsight, by the way. Available now in bookstores near you.
Hashtag not sponsored.
All right. I give free plugs to Hope Hines any day.
He deserves it. Both Hope Hines and Mel Kuiper deserve all the free plugs. But we've been breaking down, it feels like, every single possible angle and approach that the Titans could take to the first round of the draft. And I'm sure that you've been doing the same thing. Between these possible scenarios, let's say at 7, Joe Alt is not there. Do you take the best player available? Do you take the best tackle available, or do you trade back and hope that there is one, you know, a trade partner, and two, that if you do trade back, that there's going to be a game-changing player for you available at that spot?
I'm trading back because in this scenario, if you have Alt available, and who else did you say is not available? Who else did you say was drafted? Why? So in this scenario, Caroline, Alt has been drafted, I'm assuming, by the Chargers.
Yes.
That means Marvin Harrison Jr. could have been drafted. I mean, there's going to be a quarterback on the board at 7 for a team to trade up with. Quarterbacks on the board that a team's going to try to jump and make sure they draft, I'm trading back. I'm setting up my team with future first-round picks, and I'm getting more draft capital now for this draft because the Titans don't have much of it. And, I mean, you're allowed to hit on picks in the top 100 and beyond, not just at pick number 7. So, yeah, I'm trading back, gathering more picks, and bringing more talent to the roster that, oh, by the way, still is not that deep.
I'm glad you bring up quarterback potentially on the board at 7, because this is something that I talked about this morning when I was on with Robbie and Joe. And
no,
something
I'm not drafting.
That Jared's been talking about. You're not taking a quarterback?
No.
What if it's?
I'm not.
What if it's Drake May?
Who do you love? Who do you love? I loved a lot of these guys last August. I don't even like Caleb Williams all that much.
I don't think
quite
I
frankly.
Do either.
And I'm surprised that I'm not buying the hype as much with this quarterback class, because I bought the hype in 2021. It was a terrible NFL career for a lot of those guys. 2022, you know, I think one quarterback has been to the playoffs, or was that 2021 with Trevor Lawrence? Either way, maybe this is a Hall of Fame career for 4 of them, of the 5 that could be drafted first round, maybe 6. Who, I don't know if I'm buying the hype that much, but point being, I don't like any of these guys more than And I'm assuming Caleb Williams is off the board. Maybe Jaden Daniels, but I mean, build around Will Levis and get him some talent.
Why does that question keep coming up?
Don't treat him like Justin Fields. Don't treat him like Justin Fields in Chicago.
Yeah, but why does it, what if the guy's sitting there at seven? Is there's no chance that's going to happen, is there?
I mean, there is a possibility.
Of a Drake May. I'm saying Drake May. Drake May. He's not going to seven.
It's not necessarily.
I didn't think Will Levis was going to be available at 32
either.
Yeah,
I didn't think he was going to be available at 32 either, but he was, I mean, in the second round.
But I
think some of it is you just don't know how, and this is what we've continued to talk about at least the last couple of weeks, is where is it in the draft, because it happens every year, just about every year, where is it in the draft where that one move alters everything? This year, yeah, it could be in the top four or five, that this team moves up, this team moves back, now it alters everything, and maybe it's not Drake May, maybe some other quarterback falls, maybe it's Jaden Daniels that falls further down. If he's there for the Titans to take, then do you take him? I'm not sure. I would be hard pressed to not take him, but I would, if he's there and I'm there at seven, I'm moving out of that pick. I gotta trust that our evaluation of Will Levis was right, and we're gonna give him an opportunity to solidify himself as the franchise quarterback. All we need to do is help him. Helping him means surrounding him with individuals.
I mean, the general manager was here when they drafted him, not just Brian Callahan, right? Callahan wasn't. But point being, there's someone vouching for him. And let me also say, Drake May, perception, I can't stop thinking about this. He was going into the season the number two quarterback, and at times people were saying that he could be the number one overall pick, okay? And I get it. Will Levis was hyped too. At North Carolina, in that conference, Willie, I don't know if you'll roll your eyes at this or not, they back-to-back years with Drake May, they fell off a cliff in November. Like, I won't say they quit, but they went from being like unbeaten to not winning. And if you're that great, I mean, let's put up some points and go win the game. Caleb Williams didn't have a defense, but he put up numbers. I like Drake May. I like the alpha qualities of what he's saying. I just don't like the perception I have of what he should have been accomplishing at North Carolina. We had the same question about Will Levis, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to differentiate the two, quite frankly, if it's between those two. And at the shakeup in the draft, Mace, we know Washington's taking a quarterback. Why are the Patriots so silent right now? Mm-hmm. That's also a spot where maybe they want to load up on picks with a new head coach and general manager, because they're not in love with the third best quarterback, unless it's Jaden Daniels. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that could be the big stunner, is Arizona thinks they're going to get a haul and it ends up being a team ahead of them that we haven't really considered, because it's not the quarterback that the Patriots would have drafted. The assumption that 1, 2, 3, regardless of the order of 2 and 3, they're just going to take the quarterback there. If I'm evaluating, I want one of the other two and not just necessarily who's left for the picking. I want to build through high picks instead of just putting everything on one rookie quarterback that we're not really sure, flip of the coin, who's going to work out and who doesn't.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton discussing the Tennessee Titans and their and the NFL's upcoming draft. Jonathan, I was reading an article the other day, and the article was saying which teams in the NFL needs to get their draft right. And it had six teams that needed to get it right. And I was surprised that I didn't see the Tennessee Titans amongst the six teams. But I asked you the question, is the Titans – one of these teams that needs to get it right this year in regards to their draft?
So this is, you can't see the forest because you're in the trees, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, because they have missed on previous drafts. Now, we've seen some good things of the recent rookie class, good things of the some of the late round picks recently, but they have whiffed. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is one of the few first-round picks that they actually extend within this franchise. yeah, they need to get it right. This is a critical building block for this new era, this updated version of what Titans football is going to look like. And they have the 7th pick. They have a top 10 pick. Absolutely, they need to get this right. But I think the 30,000-foot view of the league is, what's the coach need to do? What's the general manager need to do? Because they've now been around the organization for 3 or 4 years. Were the Giants on that list?
Yeah, the Giants was on that list. It was the Giants, Chicago.
And Brian Daboll.
Dallas.
This is their third draft. This
of
is their third draft.
Dallas
they have
was
a
on
high pick.
There.
Yeah. Because Dallas doesn't do anything in free
New
agency.
England on there,
yeah.
too?
I think Denver was on there. There was 16.
Quarterback
Denver
move.
Makes sense.
I need
yeah.
to go back. And, yeah.
They've got to get it right. So I agree with all of those, but it's the perception of who's in power and how hot the seat is. Or you got rid of Russell Wilson. So, okay, let's see what you got in Denver and who you're going after, because it's not going to be just one quarterback without any backups or the starter as it is right now anyway. The Titans need to get it right because they haven't been hitting many base hits even. In the draft, hot.
The teams were.
They need to go with the scouting staff and everything that's been in place and some of the guys that are familiar faces. They need to go and not just hit a single. They need a double, triple, home run, because they don't have many picks. And they need to take advantage of the ones they have in the first, second round right now.
Yeah, you're right. They need singles and doubles, because I think the home yeah. run ultimately is your quarterback, and you hope if you hit
right.
singles and doubles, you're setting him up to be the home run, you know, the
right.
home run hitter or the home run swing. But the teams were Chicago. There was five. Excuse me. Teams okay. were Chicago, the Giants, Minnesota, Dallas, and Carolina. So those were the five teams that in this article that they had to get it right. They have to get it right this upcoming draft. And I'm looking at the Titans and I'm thinking, well, the Titans should be one of these teams that, considering what they have not done in recent years, considering yeah. where they're going to be, or ultimately where they want to be, opening up this stadium in 3 years, I've always said everything they do from last year, well, from this year on, is setting them up for going to that new stadium. I've always said that, and I believe
yep.
it. They want to have a Super Bowl team about time they hit 2027 and going into that new stadium.
Well, and that'll be the final year of, hypothetically here, mm-hmm. Of Levis's rookie contract, fifth year they could use. Again, take advantage of a rookie contract and have a rookie left tackle or wide receiver under contract for that same distance, right? That, to me, would be the goal if you're staying at seven. You're helping out everything with your offense. And what is an offensive draft? So that's the other thing we don't know, is how many offensive players are graded as a true first-round pick for them on a week from tomorrow, because this is a totally different outlook on what they are targeting, even at tackle. What's the quality of left tackle that they must have for Bill Callahan's offensive line? Do they want more of a finesse player, or do they want that grit that would fit certainly what Mike Vrabel and John Robinson would have drafted?
Hutt, this is a hypothetical that I threw at the gang earlier in the show. And
yep.
in the whole eye of a little more of a long-term view, if you thought, you just got done saying, you know, what does the board look like? Who,
yeah.
you know, how good is the tackle? You definitely need the tackle, but where does he grade based on great tackles that have come out before? So if the scenario was, you end up in this draft without the tackle, but you draft instead somebody you think is a game changer, is that something you'd be willing to do and take the heat of everybody saying, how could you not draft a tackle?
Yes. I mean, you're saying the game changer? To me, that's what they have to get.
Yes.
Right? So
rather than need.
Game changer to me is either on the defensive front, which is still thin, by the way, and I would say ahead of that, someone who scores touchdowns. Brian Callahan has mentioned that. They want someone that can score the football. That would be wide receiver in this draft, or Brock Bowers in this draft, right? Like that's what I'm thinking of when you say game changer. They have those guys. They don't have enough. So if Joe Alt is Joe Thomas, you draft him. If he's not and you've got a game changer, I'm drafting the game changer.
Okay, the other part that we discussed this week is over the long haul, there have been some studies that have put out there that shows that trading down, it may not help you every time you do it, but over time, the percentages are the more you trade down, you have better success because you're ending up with more picks. And the variance between, say, the 7th player picked and the 13th player picked in a given year, over the long term, isn't that big of a difference. So
as long as you take best available player instead of need.
And that's a variable that I don't know is considered when you do all these studies, right? But
right.
If you believe in that, how much are you, quote unquote, looking to trade down based on that principle and the fact that they lack picks? They could really use a few more picks.
I'm only trading down, Willie, if it's a quarterback that a team is chasing, because that is the premium price tag that you can ask for. If it's any other position, I don't think you're not going to get the same type of return, whatever those future picks may look like and the current picks that would be needed right now. So, I'm only doing it for quarterback in this draft because, again, the goal would be you don't have many more top 10 picks. So go get if picks 7 through 13 or 13 through 32 are virtually the same type of player, make sure you get the best of the guys that are rated about 7 through 13. And it doesn't have to be a position of need if it's truly the description we just said, the game-changing type talent. I'm drafting that player. Now it goes back to quarterback. They should have that type of player with resources around them already. And the jury's still out on Levis, but I haven't heard anything either on the record or off the record that leads me to believe that they're not happy with the way he's been treating the offseason. So, and the way that they want to go through the pass, right? They want to air it out. He can certainly do that.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutt, last one for me. I could ask you all day long, what about this player at 7? What about this player at 7? Like, we could do that all day long. But I'll ask you about this player because I do think that he is such a unique prospect. What about Brock Bowers at 7?
I love Brock Bowers, but it's biased because I've watched him half the time on CBS's national game at 2:30. Watched him blow out a lot of opponents, right? I love the aspect that he got hurt and came back to play. He's already won a national championship. I'm looking at the mentality of the average athlete today. Not the mentality of Willie Donick at Vandy, okay? Where he's playing, he's coming back. I think Brock Bowers has an old school approach to that. Came back and played after the injury and knew he was going to be a high pick, knew that he was risking whatever it was to come back and play. Guys are opting out of bowl games. Brock Bowers is playing in bowl games, even after. You know, he's got a situation where they go from number one to, you know, not in the college football playoff. So, yeah, I appreciate that. And that factors into the type of player I would be looking for. There are other players like that. But he stands out because, again, I was watching him on a regular basis. And he produced. He was available. And this was as a sophomore. The scouts were saying that he would be a top five pick if he entered the draft as a sophomore, if he was allowed.
That's insane. Mm.
I don't know why things have quieted down on him. I realize that you don't want to draft a tight end as high because the market, it's kind of like running back. If you tag a tight end, it's not as expensive as the top players on your offense. I get why you don't want to make a rookie one of the top paid players at his position. But, I mean, if we're just looking and grading based on what we've seen at the college level, which is what they do, he's the type of player that would be high on a board, and he will be. And you know what? He's the type of player that will be not talked about now. He will be described as a steal Thursday night. And he's going to go to a Super Bowl contender. He'll follow that, and you'll see a team go after him that will truly enhance the offense and another layer that they can add to a good quarterback. He'll benefit from that, and he'll help a team win.
There really has been so little buzz about Brock Bowers, and I think it is because he plays the tight end position, that everyone is afraid of the T and the E next to his name rather than the fact that he's not really just a tight end. He's just a weapon.
He's the type of player to me, Caroline, that it's really this is a the extreme example. But the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce rapport, he's the type of player that I think builds that within your locker room. Not saying it happens overnight, but I don't view him as like some, you know, video game guy who's racing home at 5 o'clock to do that. The 9-to-5 quarterback, as I believe Fisher described Vince Young. He's got some ball player in him that you need. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, again, he's playing for his team and trying to win instead of getting ready for the next level or the next week. That's important, especially down the stretch of a season where guys can slow roll an injury return for an extra week, trying to get the bye week.
Hutton, you're the best as always. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yep, always enjoy the show. I was listening earlier, and keep up the great work.
Appreciate it, Hut. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. We'll get right into your phones on this coming up next because we've got loaded phones, reaction to what Hutton had to say, reaction to draft talk. So we are right to you on the other side. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Is there a team that you're eyeballing for your future in the NFL? I know you can't control it, but if you could, where would you want to go?
Whoever wants to take me. I mean, it's hard to say. I'd love to go to...
He wants the Niners to get rid of Kittle, and then he wants to go to the 49ers.
He's almost saying it.
I'd be all right with going to the Tennessee Titans. I mean, I liked it down
really
in the Georgia, yeah. Tennessee area. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was cool, but yeah, that'd be a cool spot to
yeah.
be.
Yeah, you hear that, Titans?
It's a good
you
spot.
Hear that, Titans? Get ready,
I
Titans.
I played in Tennessee for 2 years. It's a great football town. It's only getting better, so yeah. I hear you there. It's a great place to live, too. Yeah. That'd mm-hmm. be cool to do.
I just love that clip. It makes mm-hmm. me laugh every single time. Less because of what he actually said, but more because of the subsequent mania across all of Titans fans that, oh my gosh, Brock Bowers is going to be a Titan because he likes the Southeast. Like, calm down, everybody. If Brock Bowers is drafted by the Tennessee Titans, it's not because he said he wanted to be drafted by the Tennessee Titans. I think a lot of 22-year-olds like to be millionaires in the city of Nashville. But promise your phones that we are right to your phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to get in on the conversation, and everything is on the table, we're talking draft, we're talking Predators in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Andrew Texan says, this sounds silly but simple. Alt is good to really good. Neighbors is great to elite. How do you get great taking really good players over elite players? Corey Davis 2.0. I think that might be assuming far too many things. I think you're just assuming that Alt is good and Neighbors is elite. You're also assuming that Neighbors or Alt is going to be there for you at 7, which neither is a guarantee. I think that Neighbors has the makings of being an elite wide receiver in the National Football League. I also think Joe Alt has the makings of being an elite left tackle in the league.
Mm-hmm. It just depends on what you feel your team needs more. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily, you know, based from like actual need. Like they actually need literally need a left tackle. So, okay, you can go with that direction. Or you can say our need is we want to be more explosive as an offense. We got players that we believe can be explosive, but we want to add another dynamic into it.
We don't need more touchdown scores.
We don't – it's not like it's a like dire need to have one more, say, skilled player, but we can use it, you know? So I don't know.
On the list of priorities and dire needs, I would say left tackle is the highest on the list of quote-unquote needs. Receiver's still on there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that the Titans are just done with receiver and that box is checked and you can throw it in the trash can and not have to worry about it. But you at least have two pieces that you feel really encouraged about this season.
So, well, the Titans, you know, I've thought about this because I'm looking at D-Hop. And D-Hop's what, 31 years old?
31.
Will he turn 32 during the season? Or he's like his birthday, he beat 31 during the season.
I'm not sure.
But the more and more I think about it, I sort of look at his career.
He'll be 32 going into the season.
Okay, so that's – but even with that, I look at his career and what he's still able to do, and I sort of look at – I look at my career and what I was able to do in my 30s. It's just not a foregone conclusion like this is D-Hop's last year. It's not me here in Nashville. I know it's not his last year playing, but it's not a foregone conclusion that it's his last year here in Nashville. Because to me, it all depends on whether he plays good football this year. If he plays good football this year, they are not segueing away from him. They're going to keep him here on this roster. They're going to try to sign, I believe they're going to try to sign another deal, a two-year deal, three-year deal that's really a two, or a two-year deal that really a one, but they can max it out to two. Because to me, that puts them out of the market for a receiver in the first round or the second round in this year's draft or next year's draft, because they keep D-Hop on the roster. He's still playing good football. You assume Calvin Ridley is going to play good football, and now you need your third guy. If Traylon hits, then I don't need to look for a wide receiver, really, this year or next year.
If.
That's an if. But if he does hit, and what I mean hit, I'm not talking about hitting and he needs to be a 1,000-yard, 1,100-yard, 1,200-yard guy. Hitting for him right now at this stage, 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. If you can give me that, 700 yards, 6 or 7 touchdowns. You give me that, that's hitting, because now that's added on to our number one receiver and our number two receiver. So to me, it's not a foregone conclusion that D-Hop will be gone. So that puts me in a place where I don't need to draft a receiver in the first round. This year, I'm not going to do it. Next year, I'm not going to have to do it, because now we got a core stable of receivers and we could bring another veteran guy. So to me, I'm good at receiver. Now what else do I need? Left tackle, and I need an inside backer. Those are the two biggest needs for the Tennessee Titans right now. It's not wide receiver.
They're not going to take an inside backer.
They're not going to take, yeah, they're not going to. Yeah. I'm saying as far as need, like in the draft. They could draft one in the second round. You know, to me, it's not a bigger, receiver is not a big need for them at this point in time. They need to shore up everything else before they think about another pass catcher, at least to me.
As far as receiver is concerned, though, I'll go back to what you said when the Titans originally acquired D-Hop. He doesn't make your offense explosive.
He doesn't, but with Calvin Ridley along.
And Calvin Ridley's also 29. He's not a spring chicken.
It's not about the age. The age is not a factor right now. It's not.
But when you're looking ahead for the future.
29 to 32, it's not a factor. It's really not. Especially in today's football, the way these guys train. If they haven't had major injuries, 29 and 32, I'm not worried about the player from that, because to me, I still believe he still has a lot left in him. I am only talking about it based on what I was able to do and what I've seen in this league, especially now. 32 is like, when you're into your early 30s, that's not the cutoff date for receivers anymore.
I also feel like you were maybe more of an exception than a rule. You had a long career. You were able to stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
If, like, I look at Julio. The Titans acquired Julio when he was, what, 31, 32?
Yeah, but he had some. D-Hop has had one injury that has put him out a considerable amount of games. Calvin Ridley, I don't think he's had an injury. He was dealing with the mental aspect of himself, so he left the games. He hadn't had any major injuries. What I'm saying is this. I look at the Tennessee Titans from a 1 and a 2. They're good for the next 2 years if they choose to sign D-Hop back another year, which I think they will. They're good for the next this year and next year. I believe they're good. Traylon comes on. They're good for this year, next year, and the year after that. Because now he said, well, I don't need to go out and get a number one pass catcher, at least for the next 2 years. Hopefully, if Traylon kicks next 3 years, I don't need to touch the wide receiver in the first two rounds. Maybe I could, but it's not a dire need. My dire needs are tackle, inside linebacker, and maybe another cornerback, because those two guys are getting a little bit older too. So,
nice.
To me, pass catcher is not a priority anymore. Do I need more? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is it a priority like it once was? No, it's not.
I love you. Mm-hmm. I think you're crazy.
Nah, you just got to look at the way the game's going. This team.
I just think you're looking too much into what we don't know for certain. What we don't know for certain if D-Hop is going to have a good enough year to sign him back.
He will. Barring injury,
I don't know if Treylon Burks is going to do anything worthwhile this season.
That's the question mark.
I cannot put any eggs into that basket. I have to continue to build my team.
Oh, you're going to continue to build your team. What I'm saying is
And I can't put Treylon Burks into consideration for that.
You have to he's always in consideration. As long as he's on this roster.
He's given me no reason to keep
him in consideration. As long as he's on this roster, you gotta consider him because he hasn't been a complete failure. You look at him and you say, now the question is, like you said last week, whether he wants it or not. Mm-hmm. That's a separate question, but he's shown that he can be a playmaker in this league if indeed he hits. Now if he hits, you don't have to worry about it, but he's the only question mark in this offense. I am telling y'all right now, D-Hop will have another good season, and the Titans will re-sign him.
For how much?
They will.
That's part of it, too.
It'll be a two-year deal, and he'll make
– It's not going to be a lot.
He'll make anywhere from in between 10 and 12 per, which they can get out. AV, the average would be around 10 or 12, but you know how they finagle the money.
Yeah.
To me, they will sign him back to another deal because he will have enough – he will have a good enough season. They will look to sign him to another deal. Let me say that, because he can do what he wants after that. But they will look to sign another deal. If he has another year, if he has a good year, the quarterback has a good year, he will re-sign back here. The question mark is and always will be, at least this year, Treylon Burks. I think they got their two receivers for at least the next 2 to 3 years if they choose to sign D-Hop back, which I think they will.
What do you
think? So I don't think they need – I don't think they need a dire. It's dire that they need a pass catcher when you talk about Brock Bowers, too.
I understand all that. This is all the things that we talk about every year, but that's what would be compelling to me is if you're sitting at 7 and the guy just on your board, regardless of need, is one of those receivers that you think is really special. That to me is a tough decision.
Yeah. But because if you get outside of that.
Because I agree with you. You wouldn't have signed Ridley. Uh-huh. Right, if you didn't think, okay, that's going to cover a big need. Like, you would invest that kind of money if you didn't think there was room for Ridley and for D-Hop and say, okay, now we've got a good foundation for our quarterback to throw to. Like, you couldn't be sitting there going, now we're going to go draft the wide receiver in number 7. Mm-hmm. But if that guy's there and you're like, man, this guy grades out better than anything that's on the board, that would be a tough call. Even though it's not a priority, would you do it? If you're just saying to yourself, this is the best player, he's going to make a difference, I'll figure out the other stuff.
I mean,
it's a tough dilemma that teams find themselves in drafts.
Because I think above all else, the Titans need great players at whatever position that might be. You know, whether that's left tackle, receiver, tight end, inside linebacker, safety, they need just great players. We'll get right back into your phones on this coming up next. I know we blabbered, we didn't get enough of you, so we're right to you coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, promise your phones, so right to your phones we will go. Phone lines driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. We're right into your phones. Hunter is on the line with a thought on the Tennessee Titans. Go ahead, Hunter.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for a great show. I'm thinking we should consider Bowers for the tight end because he is a game changer. I agree with Derek about, you know, you've got to sort of leave it open for Treylon to work out. And if you can get Bill Callahan to sign off on some of the, you know, on a later draft pick for the tackles, I think we'd be in good shape.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Hunter. Good call. That is one thing that I think about is when we approach what the Titans should do in the first round. Let's say Ault's gone at 7. Mm-hmm. I think the person they should consult about where to go next, take a guy at 7, take a lineman, trade back, ask Bill Callahan. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill, who's the next best offensive lineman? And I know, obviously, they would have already done this work. They're not doing this on draft night, but I'm just using this as an example. You consult Bill Callahan. Is Olafashnu right up there with Joe Alt? You should go ahead and take him at 7. Great, take him. Now you got your left tackle. Is Olafashnu more like the 12th best player in the draft and you have a potential trade back partner in the Vikings or the Broncos or the Raiders? And you feel confident that there's going to be one or maybe a couple of left tackles there that Bill Callahan really likes. Cool, then that's a move that you make. Bill Callahan's the X factor in a lot of this.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, tell me what y'all think about it, because I understand you don't when say that number, that guy has went off the board, say Alt, he goes off the board, so now you're picking best player available more than likely, because you don't say if Olufashnu is the second best tackle, but you don't have him as the 7th best player, you may have him as the 10th best player. Well, my thing is 10th, 7th, if you need him, take him. He's still a top 10 player, so you take him. I'm not, unless you can move out of it and move down to 10 and somebody's giving you something for and you're still able to get him at 10.
What about if the 4th best player available is there to you at 7? Like, what, for example, if that's Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm.
Then I think you do the same thing.
Be hard to pass up a fourth best player.
What is your need? Because what you're doing is you're taking a 4th best player, the 7th best player. It's not apples to apples because they play two different positions. Mm-hmm. Where does Olafashnu or any one of these other tackles, Latham? Where do they rank based upon the top tackle? The top tackle is Alt. Are they that far down from Alt that you got to pass on them because they're not the 7th best player and you got the 4th best player on the board? Is it that close, or is it that far away that you can say, well, I'm going to skip the tackle and I'm going to take Nabers because he's the 4th, and maybe Olufashnu is the 15th. I can understand that. But yeah, if he's the 10th best player or the 9th best player, I think you're still in that window to take him.
You could feel, you could justify.
Yeah, because he's still a top 10 player. That's what I'm saying. Because he's still a top 10 player. Yes, that's all I'm saying.
And that's where the Bill Callahan evaluation would come in versus the evaluation of the rest of your board at different positions. I see what you're saying.
I'm all about trading down. Mm-hmm. If I like my board and I'm not married to Joe Alt. Mm-hmm. If there are 3 or 4 other guys that I know one of them's going to be there, I want the extra picks.
Mm-hmm. Willie's taking the anti-Rams approach.
Yep.
Give me the anti-Rams and the Baltimore Ravens approach.
Give me them picks. Willie, give me them picks.
He went from Worry Wart Willie to Willie giving them damn picks, Donnick.
Give me them damn picks, Donnick. All right, that is going to do it
throws
for us
at the dartboard.
We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Have a great day and peace.
Closing time.